Would you stand with me as we read the scripture this morning and as we pray together in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. The Apostle Paul is writing here to the church at Corinth. It was the most important city in Greece during his day. It was a hub of worldwide commerce. It had a degraded culture, and there was a lot of idolatrous religion that was taking place. Paul founded the church here, and he wrote back two letters to this church which he wanted them to understand many things that they needed to hear and what God wanted them to learn. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18, for Christ, Paul said, did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Would you join me as we pray? Father God, as we pause on this March morning, Father, as we are looking toward Palm Sunday on the 24th and Easter Sunday on the 31st, and Father, as we look at the cross during the month of March, I pray, oh God, that you would remind us that how the cross made a difference, how it changed the world, and for those who would receive you as their personal Lord and Savior, Father, how that one event changed lives forever and is changing lives today. Father, I pray that you would help us this morning, speak to our hearts in these next few moments, and help us to be in tune to what your voice would say to us today. And Father, how we could take and apply what you say to our hearts and lives, and that we could live in such a way that others would see a difference in our lives, would see Christ living in and through us. Father, may they be able to look beyond the exterior of the human flesh and to realize, oh God, that your Holy Spirit lives within the heart of every born-again child of God. Help us today. Teach us, Holy Spirit, I pray. Lead us into all truth. In Christ's name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Off of the coast of South China, there was once built a massive cathedral. And on top of that cathedral, there was a huge cross that towered way into the air. It could be seen from miles away. There was a typhoon that came through and destroyed that cathedral one day, and the only thing that was left standing was that cross that towered out there in the ruins of that cathedral. Sir John Boring was once marooned in the South China Sea after a shipwreck that he was on while he was being tossed out there in the South China Sea. Just off of the coast, he could see that cross towering in the distance. When he saw that cross, he later said it was such a great encouragement to him because he knew that he was near land when he was able to see the cross that was standing there symbolizing deliverance, safety, and salvation. He later wrote a great hymn in which he penned the words, I will glory in the Christ. I will glory in the Christ who towers over the wrecks of time. And this morning, as you and I have joined our hearts together here in worship, towering over all the faults and the failures of mankind, and towering over all the hurt, all of the sin, the sorrow, and the evil, and the things that take place in our world this morning, towering high above us all is the message of the cross and the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to show a video clip here of something that happened this past week in London and the UK, in the great cathedrals there, Canterbury Cathedral, a place that was once a place filled with worship. And now, young people, it has become what they use as a silent disco rave night of dancing, of showing lights, and drinking. There are people now who are complaining, signing petitions, because many of the great cathedrals now in the UK are being used to try to garner in young people, but unfortunately they're doing it the wrong way. And when I saw that, I could not help but think that you and I are living in a time when the message of the church is changing. Churches and even whole denominations are moving away from the message of salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ and moving toward more toward a social activism of being able to try to get to heaven and good works. The Apostle Paul, as he wrote to this church at Corinth, it certainly was not a perfect church. It was a church that was filled with imperfect people, but yet there were those that were really struggling to try to live life rightly. There were others, of course, in the church that were not living the way they should. And Paul is writing to this church, and he's writing about his purpose. He's writing about preaching and proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, that was Paul's main focus in life. His great mission was his ministry. It was his aim. And this morning, I want to remind all of us about the mission and the message that took place some 2,000 years ago at a place outside the city of Old Jerusalem called Calvary. It was that event that altered the future for every person who will place their faith and trust in the one who died for them that day. Take a walk with me this morning for just a few minutes upon a hillside outside the gates of the city of Jerusalem, where we encounter this event that purchased, that provided salvation for everyone who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who came, who shed his blood for the remission of sins and to give life everlasting to those who will call upon his name. First of all, this morning, we see from Paul's verses here, first the proclamation of the cross, the proclamation, Paul's motive in life, his aim in life, his mission in life, his focus in life was to present, to proclaim, to preach the message of the cross. Somebody asked Billy Graham one day, if you had life to live all over again, what would be something that you would do differently? He said, I would race to the pulpit and I would preach more on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, on this particular day, Paul was preaching. He was preaching a message, but it was a strange message to some that day, for the Jews were looking for a Messiah who had been promised, but they were looking for a political leader, one who would throw off the Roman yoke that they had been given, that they were oppressed by. They were looking for a Messiah that would bring liberty to their captors, and they totally missed the fact that their Messiah would be one who would suffer for the sins of the people. You see, the message today of a bloody cross of Jesus, it's still a strange message to those who have never experienced his life-changing power. To them, it's foolishness, and that word foolishness comes from the same word from which we would get in English our word moron. To the lost, it's the idea of trusting a suffering, bleeding man for salvation. And to them in that day, as well as to many in our day, that to them was moronic. In fact, Paul says in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 through 24, he said, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews..." He says, "For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." You see, this message, young people, that Paul was preaching on this day, proclaiming, it was not only a strange message, strange in the sense that he was preaching both to the Jews and to the Gentiles, the Greeks, and it was a strange message. It was not what the Jews were expecting. But let me tell you, it was also a very shocking message. It was a brutal, awful death by way of crucifixion that was experienced there on the cross. The death that Jesus died on Calvary's cross was one of absolute, unbelievable torture. You and I cannot even begin to imagine all of the pain and all of the suffering and all of the torture that was forced and placed upon Jesus to endure for our sakes. Let me refresh our memory this morning with a passage of Scripture that tells us that Jesus died for our sins and what he suffered that day because of our sin. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 26, speaks about how they scourged him. "Then he released Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified." Luke 22, verse 63 and 64 tells us that they beat Jesus. "Now the men who held Jesus mocked him and beat him." Matthew 27:30 tells us that they spit on him. Notice, "Then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head." Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 6 tells us 750 years, young people, before Jesus ever came into the world, 750 years before, Isaiah prophesied this: "I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard." Matthew 27:29 speaks how they mocked him. "When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews.'" Matthew 27:28 says they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. Matthew 27:34 speaks about they gave him sour wine and cast lots for his clothes. And they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Matthew 27:38 tells us they nailed Jesus to the cross. Then two robbers were crucified with Jesus, one on the right and another on the left. Young people, the Assyrian nation was the first to use crucifixion. But they did not nail their people to the cross. They impaled them upon sharp sticks. It was the Romans who came by, and they incorporated into nailing people to the cross. And the details of Christ's death on the cross is very disturbing when you and I read that. He drank the bitter cup willingly so that you and I would have the opportunity to be saved. In Luke 22, verse 41 and 42, Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. It says, and Jesus was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. There's only one way that you and I can receive redemption, and that is through the shed blood of Christ on Calvary's cross. There's no other way but this way. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. You see, young people, the preaching of the cross was not only a strange message, it was a shocking message because of what was done to Jesus. But let me tell you, it was also a very simple message. The Bible is very clear when it tells us that the way for us to be saved is to accept the Lord Jesus by faith. And the Bible teaches about Jesus and how he atoned through his death on the cross. In the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 9 through 10 and verse 13, Paul is writing to the Roman Christians. He says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. He goes on and says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, the message of the cross is about coming to Jesus by faith alone, through Christ alone, through his shed blood alone on the cross of Calvary. And young people, that message was not only a strange message to the listeners that day and in our day as well, it was a shocking message of what he would endure for the sins of mankind. It was a simple message that even a child can understand how to go to heaven. But let me tell you, it was also a very sobering message that day. Let me tell you, it was sobering in the fact that it determined whether or not someone would go to heaven someday or whether they would go to hell and be separated for all eternity from Christ. Let me tell you, the proclamation of the cross is a message that the world needs this morning. Let me tell you, what the world needs now is love, but it's the love of Jesus who came down to show to you and to me how much that he loved us. That brings me to my second point this morning, not only the proclamation of the cross, but what was the purpose of the cross? Let me tell you, young people, the cross is God's statement of love to this world. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Hebrews 9:22 tells us there's no other way. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission for sins. And back during that Old Testament time, when the people would come and the high priest would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat to atone for the sins of the people, from the blood of sheep and bull and goats, that would never take away their sin. In fact, Hebrews chapter 10 verse 4 says, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Hebrews 10:10 tells us, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. I heard a song this past week on the radio driving to Oklahoma City. Heard a song, and it was a religious song, but I didn't agree with some of their words in it, because I know that when Jesus hung on the cross that day, and he used the words tetelestai, which means it is finished. He isn't coming back to do it again. And the song said he'd come back and do it again for me. No, he wouldn't. He did it once 2,000 years ago. He's not coming back to do it again. when he said, "It is finished," it meant exactly what he said when Christ went to the cross and he died for the sins of humanity. It forever would settle the sin debt of man. And ever since Satan sinned and became the devil, he's been in the business of trying to hinder the work of Almighty God. He loves nothing better than to keep souls in bondage and see people condemned to hell. But when Jesus went to the cross that day, I'm of the opinion that the devil thought he had won the victory. I'm sure he rejoiced when Jesus cried out, "It is finished." But what the devil didn't know that day, that the Lord Jesus didn't plan to stay dead. Let me tell you, Jesus didn't plan to stay dead. Maybe Satan should have listened a little closer. Maybe he would have understood better that Jesus didn't say on the cross, "I am finished." He said, "It is finished." The "it" was the work of redemption for the sins of mankind, to reconcile us, sinful man, to a holy God. Let me tell you, I'm grateful for the resurrected Christ on that third day. Let me tell you, when he rose over death, hell, and the grave, it nailed Satan's coffin lid shut, because one of these days, Satan will be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. In this present world that you and I live, Satan raises his ugly head. He roars like a ferocious lion, and he will do everything he can to defeat your life, to discourage your life, to depress your life. He will do everything that he can to try to steal the joy of the Lord in your heart. Let me tell you, there's power in the blood of Jesus this morning to set the sinner free. Third and lastly, the preaching or the proclamation of the cross. The purpose of the cross was for the redemption of mankind through the shed blood of Christ. But I want you to notice the power of the cross. Let me tell you, when the power of the cross is appropriated, three things happen. First of all, sin dies. First of all, sin dies. When a person places his or her faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that person is forever changed. The chains of sin are broken. Romans 6:14 says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." The blood of Christ, young people, has the power to change every life that's touched by it. Romans 6:6-7 says, "Knowing this, that our old man," that's talking about this flesh, "that our old man," that old way of life, "was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." For he goes on and says, "He who has died has been freed from sin." Young people, that just means the day Jesus died on the cross, we died with him as far as our old way of life is concerned. In Romans 6:12-14, Paul said to the Roman Christians, "Therefore," Paul said, "do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members," he's talking about your body, "as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, for sin," he says, "shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but under grace." Aren't you grateful this morning for grace so amazing? Grace so amazing, God's wonderful gift of grace. What is grace? God's riches at Christ's expense. What is grace? Let me tell you, it's that free gift of God that he offers to whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says, shall be saved. Let me tell you, whenever it's appropriated, three things happen. Number one, sin dies. Number two, hell is defeated. No blood washed blood-bought person will ever experience the flames of fire and of hell. In the book of John, chapter 5, 24, Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." Romans 8, 1 confirms this for us, that if you're born again, you'll never face condemnation. Paul said, "There is therefore now," meaning once you receive Christ, "no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Let me tell you, Satan will not get his wish. No child of God will ever experience hellfire. And let me tell you, I don't know about you, but that should be an amen this morning. Amen, church? What rejoicing that ought to be in our lives. You see, when the power of the cross is appropriated, three things happen. Sin dies, hell is defeated, and thirdly, heaven is delivered. The blood of Jesus Christ, it's the key that unlocks the gates of glory. And when the blood of Christ is applied to our hearts and lives, the child of God becomes instantly destined for an eternity in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's his promise to every believer. In John 14, 1 through 3, Jesus tells us how to get there. Jesus was speaking to his disciples. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus was talking to Nicodemus one night. Nicodemus was lost. Jesus answered and said to Nicodemus, "Most assuredly," Jesus said, "most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." The hymn writer said, "And I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary, and I believe whatever the cost, and when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to that old rugged cross." The hymn writer said, "Have you been to Jesus? For the cleansing power are you washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb." The hymn writer put it well in penning these words, "Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was his blood applied. Glory to his name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross when he took me in. Glory to his name. Oh, precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to his name. Come to this fountain, so rich and sweet, cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. I will glory in the cross. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Would you stand as we pray together? Our Father, there's a lot of things in life this morning that we can't know, that we don't know, but there's one thing for sure that we can be assured of, that we've been to Jesus for the cleansing power, and we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Father, if there's someone here this morning that has never reached out and said, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I know you came from heaven's glory to shed your blood to die on a cross to cover my sins. Lord, I receive that. Lord, I believe that. Lord, I know you rose from the grave, and I know that you're alive today. Forgive me of all of my past. Come into my heart and my life and be the Lord of my life from this day forward. Father, thank you for the wonderful promise, the wonderful hope, the wonderful declaration of promise to know that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, if there's one listening today to this broadcast or will listen to it in the days to come that has never met you in a personal way, oh God, Holy Spirit, move within that heart. Quicken that person to bring them to the realization life is brief and life is short. And as the poet said, the grave is not the goal. God, bring them to a place of realization that the most important thing in all of life, is do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Father, I pray if there's someone here this morning that just needs to come and recommit their life to the Lord, or there in the pew, that they would just say, Lord, I recommit my heart and life to you. Lord, help me be more than I've ever been for you. Maybe there's someone here today, Lord, that needs a church home. Speak to their heart, I pray. May they come and be a part of this great fellowship of believers. Father, these altars are open for people to come and pray for whatever need there may be. Holy Spirit, this is your invitation. I've delivered the message, as Paul said, I was called to preach the gospel. So, Father, today I've proclaimed your message. Father, I've done what you've called me to do. This invitation is yours, Holy Spirit of the living God. According to your plan, according to your purpose, use it to bring glory to you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.